Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Good morning, City Light. How are you guys doing this morning? You good? Excellent. You guys look fantastic from up here. Just saying. We are one good-looking church. I'm so excited to be up here this morning. My name is Cameron. I'm a youth leader here at City Light Church, along with my lovely wife, who is not here, but she's watching online, and we're live this morning. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? And it's her birthday. So happy birthday, sweetie. It's her birthday day. Yeah, she's at home. So, I'm a youth leader here at City Light Church, and I get the opportunity to preach, and I'm so excited to be up here this morning talking about Ask, Seek, Knock. That's our sermon series. I believe it's for the month of October, and I think our pastor is just on fire picking amazing, amazing sermon series. I mean, he's just doing awesome. I love it. I'm so into this, and God, like, instantly gave me what I was going to say this morning. It was the last few sermons, he's just been, bam, right on me. And, I mean, I think it's because pastor's picking such good series that it's just so easy, right? Just like, bam, no work. No, I'm kidding. I did put some effort into this. But let's start in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we get to be here, that we get to draw near to you, Father, and we get to know who you are, that you sent your Son to die for us. You're an amazing, amazing God. And I thank you that we're here, and I pray that you would use my words to speak to the people of City Light this morning. We leave this place changed because of who you are and what you've done. And we pray this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I love Starbucks. I'm not ashamed at all. I love Starbucks. Come on, somebody cheer for Starbucks. People here have to like Starbucks. Thank you. Excellent. So I love Starbucks. I feel like every good sermon or youth series begins at Starbucks. It's like the one common ingredient. I just walk into that place and I smell the smells and I hear the noises and suddenly I feel like this is a holy place. Like, yes. Like, in heaven, there will be Starbucks on like every corner. Maybe not. That might not be theologically accurate, but whatever. I love Starbucks. And I was at Starbucks. This was before COVID. Before this all started, I was there and I had my laptop and I was preparing a youth series that I was going to do and I was looking through it. And as I was working through it, I went up to get my drink, which just so everybody knows is a black shaken iced tea lemonade with light ice, because too much ice is, you need a light ice. And I was there and I got my beverage and I was sitting down and I had my headphones in and I realized that I'm a loud person, okay? I get it. If you know me, like, if people back away when they talk for me. Like, when Jessica and I started dating, she thought, like, is he this loud all the time? Like, I'm a loud person. I get it. But I'm telling you, two girls sat down beside me and they were like college age and they made me seem like a mouse. Like, these girls, the windows were vibrating. They were talking so loud. And so I'm turning up my volume on my headphones so I can't hear them because I'm trying to focus on God and what he wants to do. And, I'm doing my thing. And I got like a headache because I'm listening to my music so loud, but I'm just trying to drown these two out. And so finally I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore. So I'm going to leave. So I start to pack up. And just as I start to pack up, what do you know it? They start to pack up. And right as I take my headphones off, I put them away and they get up. The girl says to the other girl, she says, and that's why riding my horse meant I could never go to college. And then they walked out. And it hit me. I'm like, wait, riding your horse meant you could never go to, how does that happen? And she was gone. And I mean, like, I couldn't chase her down because that'd be weird. But I really want to know how that story started. What kind of story ends with, that's why riding my horse meant I can never go to college? Well, how does that start? What does that begin with? What did the start of her day look like? I really would like to meet this girl. If you're here today, you're that girl, please tell me why. I don't think I've ever seen her again, but I feel like when I get to heaven and I'm up there, I'm like, going to be like, Jesus, thank you. I'm so glad I'm here. Hey, listen, why? Why did that girl not, why was she not able to go to college? Because she was riding a horse. I really want to know. Church, I just heard the end of that girl's story. And I think when I was beginning to think about ask, seek, knock, the words Jesus says here in Matthew 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We serve a good God, don't we, this morning? Amen. See, Jesus, he made a difference in the lives of every single person he met. I truly believe that. There are people that he called into his life, like the disciples. He was a huge part of their lives. You know, he was chapters in their story, a long part. And he built into them, and he talked with them, and he dined with them, and he met with them, and he made a difference in their lives. But then there are people who he has one little encounter, like a sentence or a paragraph in the story of their lives. I'm here to tell you, encountering Jesus changes the plot of your story. It changes how it will finish. It changes the middle. Encountering Jesus changes our story. And As I began to think about Jesus and how he changed people's stories, the people he met, and how their lives were never the same after, I began to think about us as Christians. When our lives intersect with other people, when our stories intersect with others, how do we change them? Some people, you know, they're part of their life for a story, you know? Like, think about people you knew in high school that you don't see anymore. For a little while, you might have been a huge part of their lives. Now you're like, maybe I'm Facebook friends with them? I don't know. Right? But when we intersect in the lives of people, how do we change their story? Because I know Jesus changed people's stories, and he didn't even need much time. Jesus was the busiest person that ever lived. I think we can agree that he had a lot to do. Every day he woke up, there was a lot on that to-do list. He was so busy, and yet he took the time to encounter people. And he changed their story. So, church, I'm going to challenge us today. An ask, seek, knock. The title of my message is Fulfilling the Great Commission, because I believe that we are all called to be not just disciples, but to create other disciples, just like our mission statement says, right? We're creating disciples. Church, we were called to be a church that speaks the gospel message, but are we? I don't know about you, but I think it can be a little scary sometimes, right? It can be a little daunting to actually talk about Jesus. To actually like speak about him to strangers or even like our family. I don't know about you, but sometimes that can be daunting. So today, I'd like to look at a story and talk about how Jesus asks, he seeks, and he knocks in this woman's life. And I think we can apply this to our ministry each and every day. In John chapter 4, Jesus encounters a woman. The gospel writer says, "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria." I love that line. Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Why? So he can encounter this woman and have an exchange with her on this day. Church, we have to do things in our life in order to have an encounter with people. It's not always random. It's not always just, you know, divine coincidence. We are supposed to be deliberate in what we're doing. We have to do things. Not so that Jesus will love us more, because here to tell you today that he already died for you. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all your sins, he's died for them already. But we have to do things if we want to be effective Christians. Amen? So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Give me a drink is his question. So today we're talking about ask, seek, knock. We as Christians need to be asking the right question in people's lives. I mean, look around. There are so many people on this earth, and Jesus loves each and every single one of them. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, can you really, like, love them all? Like, he just has so much love. Like, I can hardly love all the people, like, you know, that are in my family, not to mention, like, you know, everyone on earth. Jesus has so much love and grace and mercy. Every person we encounter, the person at Tim Hortons taking our order, or Starbucks, if that's your thing, like me, you know, whatever, Jesus loves them. They have a story. They have a background. They have things that happen to them, hurts and goals and aspirations. We as Christians are called to tap into that in people. Jesus cares about people. He could have just right up opened the story by saying, "Hey, listen, I know you have lots of husbands. Hey, I'm the living water. Move on. I'm really busy." But instead, he takes the time to have a conversation with this woman. The busiest man is about to engage in conversation with the Samaritan woman, who in this society was valued very poorly. How do we value people when we engage with them in conversation? When we meet random people on the street, even people here in the church, you know, are we the type of people where we're like, hey, hi, how are you? Good. Okay, whoosh, got out of there. Didn't have any deep conversation. That is a successful day at church. Excellent. Or are we engaging in conversation, asking people questions, learning about their lives so that we can hear their story and maybe be a part of changing that? Jesus knew exactly what question to ask. We were called to ask questions, church. And I think this can be really daunting for us, you know, especially when we're trying to lead people to a conversation about faith. Because we think, oh, they don't want to know about it. They don't want to hear about it. But people on this earth are really, really interested in what happens when we die. We all are. I mean, we're going to spend a lot longer dead than we are alive, aren't we? Don't we want to know where we're going? Everyone's in the same boat. And church, I believe we were called to ask questions of people, engage in conversation, and people want to talk about what they believe. They just don't want to be the first one. So we've got to cross that bridge and start asking the questions, you know? And I think it's easier than we think it is sometimes. I mean, someone asks you, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You could say, oh, like, you know, I'm going camping, I'm doing this. With this weather, we could camp, right? Or you could say, oh, I'm going to church on Sunday, I'm really excited. Well, you go to church? What church? Oh, I go to City Light. Oh, you know, what denomination are you? This or that or the other thing. You can start a conversation really easily, I believe. You're just going to be the first one to make a move. Change your verbiage. Talk about your ministry. Talk about your church. Talk about your passions. Talk about what you believe in. And you'll be amazed the different directions your conversations could go. I was getting a haircut. It was a long time ago. It was pre-COVID. You can tell. I know. I don't have that much hair, but I had enough hair that I needed a haircut. And, you know, I was talking to the hairdresser, and she was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, oh, actually, like, I have a youth event this weekend. We got in this whole discussion about what, you know, she did when she was in youth, and she left the church, and the reasons she left the church, and I invited her to church, and, you know, she never came, and, you know, I might never see her again, you know, but still, we had an intersection. I planted a seed, and we got to understand that as Christians, that a lot of times we are planting seeds. We are watering that seed. We are preparing hearts to receive Christ. Amen? Verse 8 says, this is Jesus, and he's asked this woman, give me a drink. It says, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked me and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from himself, as did his sons and his livestock. So Jesus is in this conversation with this woman. He starts talking about living water. So Jesus, through asking questions, he takes the conversation a little deeper. And that's something we can all learn from, right? Take our conversations deeper. We don't need to talk about the weather. We don't need to talk about our sports teams. We can talk about something a little deeper in our relationships. And what Jesus does here is, as he's asking her questions, is he is really listening to what she has to say. There are so many people in this world that their idea of listening is just patiently not speaking and waiting their turn. We were called as Christians to listen. Jesus listens to this woman and steers the conversation. You know, you can hear it in her words that she wants to have a deeper conversation. Jesus is just leading her in that direction, but he's listening. James 1, verse 19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Are we quick to listen, church? Are we quick to listen to people's stories, their hurts, what's going on in their lives? Or are we busy? We're like zooming by them, you know? We're just a footnote in their story. Jesus is calling us to be more than a footnote in the lives of people, to really build a relationship with them. And I cannot stress this enough as we continue on here, that as Jesus is meeting with this woman, you can clearly see from the story, she is not a project. She's not a number. She's not someone he has to invite to church so the pastor will get off his back. She is someone Jesus cares about. Do we care about people in our lives this morning? The people we're inviting to church, do we care about them? People aren't projects. We're not just trying to get a number. There's not a quota you have to make or you get a bigger house in heaven. I'm here to tell you today, people are loved by Jesus. People are loved, and if He loves them, we should love them too. Church, God is calling us to be in authentic relationships with people. Are we? Or are we surface? Are we trying to keep a distance? Are we afraid of closing that gap? Jesus sure wasn't. He gets right into it with this woman. He's asking her the questions, and after asking, He's seeking out opportunities to tell her about what's going on, about Him. And we need to be seeking opportunities and conversations to be telling people the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of that the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." So he takes this conversation and he's found an opportunity to take it a little bit deeper. And he's seeking an opportunity to talk. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What are you seeking first? Because I think if we're honest, a lot of our conversations, they kind of reach this fork in this row with people. We can try to go a little bit deeper, or we can stay surface. And if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, not our own status, not people liking us, not, you know, just trying to fly by our day. If we're seeking first the kingdom of God, then we take the path that turns the conversation a little deeper. And if we're seeking first our own status, we don't want to be embarrassed, we don't want to be turned down. So, you know, we just kind of go with the flow. What do we do in church? Are we seeking first the kingdom? Are we trying to turn conversations into more? Because Jesus sure is here today. He's asked this woman questions. He's listened, and now he's turning the conversation deeper to the living water. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true," the woman said to him. "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." See, when Jesus turns this conversation on its head, right? And I mean, he has some perception here about this woman that obviously we generally don't have in a regular conversation. And if you do, like, that's pretty cool. But we don't always have this. But what Jesus does is he takes the conversation deeper. Listen to what this woman does. She says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." So she realizes, hey, this guy's a prophet. This guy's got it going on. He's got a lot of knowledge. So I'm going to ask him a question about worship. And this was a huge deal at this time. Which mountain was the correct mountain to worship on was a major issue. Like, had they had CNN or Fox News, it would have been running, you know, on the ticker as much as, like, Trump has COVID. Seriously. It was a big deal. Which mountain do we worship on? And so this woman, she is in this conversation. She realizes Jesus is taking it deeper. And so what she tries to do is make it a conversation about the art of worship. What mountain? How do we do this? Which one of us is correct? And I think when you take conversations deeper with people, they do this as a defense mechanism. You know, you start talking to people about your faith, and all of a sudden they want to talk to you about, like, well, was the world created in 10,000? Or was it 10,000 years old? Or is it a billion years old? Or, you know, like, well, you know, what about the disciples? What about, you know, the lost sea scrolls? They want to get you on all these other topics that surround Christianity, because if they stay out here, they don't have to go to the heart of the issue. See, Jesus takes this from a conversation about the art of worship to a conversation about the heart of worship, who we're worshiping and why we're worshiping them. He takes it away from the physical, the mountains, which mountain's right, and takes it right to her heart. And that's what we are called to do. I'm not saying I don't like engaging in a conversation about creation or about the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's right down my alley. But we can get so caught up in the ologies that we forget about the heart of people, church. We were called to have conversations that go right to the heart with people that we meet and intersect. And I'm not just talking about, you know, our families, which we definitely should be doing this. I'm talking about with strangers. I'm talking about with coworkers. We were called to take the conversation deeper. Are we? Are we leaving it surface? Church, let's take that conversation deeper. I'm here to tell you today, the Great Commission is not just for Pastor Doug. It's not just for me as a youth leader, the other care group leaders. It's for each and every one of us to make disciples here on earth. We know Jesus and who he is and his healing power. Why aren't we sharing this more? I mean, we should be shouting it from the rooftop, shouldn't we? But also, I think we have to be careful because we can get this idea, it's not like we're called to sit there with like a sign and a microphone and scream at people. We're called to be in relationship with people, just like Jesus was. Ask, seek, knock. Church, we were called to spread this message. And when people try to change the conversation to something, whatever it is, whether it's some sort of, did Jesus marry Mary Magdalene? Like, let's talk about that. It's okay to engage in conversation, but we need to direct it back to Jesus and who he was and what he did and his death on the cross, because that's what we're all about. Right, church? I mean, there's a lot of different denominations out there, and people can get caught up in that, or what's Catholic, what's this, what's that. Bring them back to Jesus, because that's what it's all about. His death on that cross for my sins and your sins, that's where we're called to be. Bring the conversation back. Jesus says to her, "But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." He's brought it back to him. He's brought it back to the truth. Jesus is the truth. He takes the conversation and takes it back. We're called to do this, church. When we ask the right questions, we got to listen. When we're seeking out opportunities to bring the conversation deeper, we got to make sure it's about Jesus, not about all these other things. We're never going to logic people into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is going to love them. I mean, he could have got up there and he could have laid out the greatest argument that's so philosophically true, and he could have done that. Absolutely, Jesus could have, but he chose to be in relationships with people because we're called to be in relationship. And last, we got to knock. And this, I think, for a lot of us can be the really hard part. And what I mean by knocking here is ask them that question. Do you want to accept Jesus into your heart? Do you want to know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you ready to accept Jesus into your heart? I think it's a lot of Christians can go their entire walks without asking someone this question. But we were called to be in relationship with these people, walking life with them, and then asking them this question, knocking on the door of their heart. Are you ready? Are you ready to accept Jesus? Because I'm telling you, it'll be the best thing you ever do. And I love that we as a church at City Light here, we have chosen to do this every single Sunday. Every single Sunday, whoever gets up here is going to ask someone, do you want to accept Jesus? Because why? Because we have to knock. They will never just show up at your door and you'll open the door. There they'll be, and they'll be like, hey, I'd like to accept Jesus. That is not how it works. I mean, if it maybe sometimes, but you know what I mean? The general part, Jesus is calling us. We're his vessels of grace and mercy and love in these people's lives. We need to knock. This is tough. Let's be honest, especially with family members. Family members that maybe you've talked about this 1,000 times before and they've rejected you 1,000 times. You never know. Might be the 1,001st. We're called to knock on the doors of people's lives and ask them, do you want to accept Jesus? And every time when I get up here and I pray about when I'm going to give the altar call message, because it's so important. And as you're knocking in someone's lives, pray for someone else to come knocking in their lives, and pray for someone else. And before you know it, when 20 people are knocking, they might answer the door. Amen? We get to spend eternity with them. Isn't that great? I mean, if we really believe what we believe, then we only have a short time here on this earth to make a difference in people's stories. To change the ending. Are we going to do that, church? And I think that we intend to. And you can hear a message like this and we can all be pumped up and ready to go. And we can forget about it by the time we get to like Cora's for lunch or wherever you go. Free plug for Cora's. They should pay me for that. Church, we are not called to forget about this. We're called to take this fervor and take what Jesus did, and we're supposed to apply it out there in the lives of people at work. We might be ridiculed. We might be belittled for our faith. You never know. You're still called. And again, I think what's so dangerous is our enemy can take this, and he can take our good intentions and make it seem like we're just working on people's projects. And when people feel like projects, they think, well, that's what Christians do. They're just like, we're just a number. We're just, like another tithe. All they want is our money so the pastor can get another Mercedes, Like, that's what people think, right? But church, we are called to be in relationship, authentic relationship. And that means we've got to give of ourselves. I mean, Jesus talks to this woman. He's engaged in this conversation. He's telling her about the living water. This is something he hasn't even revealed to the disciples yet. Think about that. This is early in his ministry, and he reveals to this woman that he is the living water. Wow, it's amazing. What are we revealing of ourselves to people? See, I think one of the worst things we can do is try to say, I'm a Christian, I've got it all together, my life is perfect, my wife is perfect, my kids are perfect, and if you become a Christian, you'll be like that too. And we're trying to, you know, say like, lift people out of whatever they're in and say, if you come up here, be perfect with me. But we were called to get down with them, to be real and be honest and authentic in our relationships. Speak about your struggles and speak about how God's helped you through them. Amen? Church, let's leave this place today ready to knock on the hearts of people. Let's leave this place listening, asking, seeking out opportunities for Jesus because they're there. And doubly so if you pray for those opportunities. Be prepared for Jesus to give you those opportunities. You know, let's step up, church. Let's be a church that's out in the community, out and about, knocking on people's hearts, speaking the name of Jesus. Our last verse this morning says, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Wow. Jesus has said that in our lives this morning. He says, I am he. I am who, you know, is going to set you free. I am who is going to give you eternal life. I am who is going to provide for you. I am who is going to be before you and behind you. I am going to be with you. And we need to be telling people, Jesus is who's with you. If people are out there, they're scared, they're lost, they're hurt, they're confused, whatever's going on in their lives, they got their past, they got their future, their worries. Jesus is the answer this morning. Who's going to tell them if we don't? Let's go forward asking people, seeking them out, knocking on the doors of their hearts, saying, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is what you're searching for. Jesus is what you're looking for. And all those terrible relationships that you're really looking for is Jesus. And all that hurt and all that pain, you were looking for Jesus. At the bottom of the bottle, you were trying to find Jesus. He's not there. He's here, and he wants to be with you this morning, church. Let's go out there and tell them Jesus is he who you seek. Jesus. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know this Jesus, it's time. I gave you a forewarning. The altar call was coming. It's Jesus. What you're going through, what's going on, I don't know. I might not know you from anybody, but he does. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows your heart. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows you. Jesus is the answer this morning for you. If you're here this morning, you don't know him, it's time. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make. Come to him. He's knocking on the door of your heart right now. You know who you are. He's speaking to you. He wants you in this kingdom. He wants you in his community. He wants relationship with you. He wants to provide for you. He wants you right now. You just got to open the door. He's knocking. So what I'm going to ask you to do is if you want to accept Jesus into your heart, so simple. All you got to do is raise your hand after I say a prayer. Or if you're online, click on a link, and I think there's a number to phone, and it will be the greatest decision you ever make. It's not all rainbows and butterflies. It's not all perfect. You won't get $1 million just for signing up, but you will get eternal life and a Savior who's willing to walk with you, and nothing, no amount of money, no riches can replace that. And church, I just want to challenge each and every one of us. You know, this week, not next week, not in a month, this week, let's go forward. Let's speak the name of Jesus. Let's take conversations deeper. And we might get rejected 1,000 times, but every time let's keep going. And let's keep bringing conversations back to Jesus. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you sent your Son to die on that cross for our sins. That his blood has forgiven us for everything in the past, in the future, that you have forgiven us. Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross. You lived a perfect life and you didn't deserve, but you died my death and our death so that we didn't have to and we can spend eternity with you. Thank you, Father. I pray that each and every one of us here this morning would leave this place. You'd put a name on our hearts, put an opportunity on our hearts, and that we would seek out, we would ask, we would seek, we would knock on the doors of people's hearts, and we would speak your truth this morning, Father. I pray each one of us this week would challenge ourselves, take a conversation deeper, go beyond the surface, get to the heart of the issue, and that is you, Father. Father, you know those that are here today this morning. You're speaking to them. You want them to join your kingdom. You're seeking after them. You're knocking on their heart. If that's you, if he's knocking, time to open the door. So I'm going to ask, on the count of three, if you raise your hand as an outward sign of an inward change or click on that link below. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Click that link. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you know our hearts and you know each one of us. And I pray that for everyone here today, anyone here today who wants to receive you, anyone online, Father, I pray they take that next step. They go to the welcome lounge, ask a question, they click that link, they phone that number, because Father, you want them in your kingdom this morning. And you want us to be more effective for you. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. You love us now as much as you ever will. You already died for us. But you have so much more for us. While we are living, while we're breathing, you have something for us. And I pray each one of us this week, we seek out an opportunity to save a soul, to plant a seed, to be that vessel of your grace and your mercy. I pray, Jesus, you would help us as City Light to realize the mission field is all around us. We're there right now. And that we would see opportunity to do amazing work that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus, for all your blessings. Thank you for your death. And thank you that we go forward with the power of your Holy Spirit. In your precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you, church.